Good morning, everyone. 2 days merging with Shiva lesson has to do with chakra cycles in each lifetime. The same cyclical pattern of development in human history is evident even more clearly in the growth of the individual. In the 7 cycles of a man's life, beginning at the time of his birth, his awareness automatically flows through one of these chakras, and then the next one, then the next, and then the next, provided he lives a pure life following Sanatana Dharma under the guidance of a Sadguru. In reality, most people never make it into the higher 4 chakras, but instead regress back time and time again into the chakras of reason, instinctive will, memory, anger, fear, and jealousy. Nevertheless, the natural ideal pattern is as follows. From 1 to 7 years of age, man is in the Muladhara chakra. He is learning the basics of movement, language, and society, absorbing it all into an active memory. Patterns of his subconscious are established primarily in these early years. From 7 to 14, he is in the Svadhisthana chakra. He reasons, questions, and asks why. He wants to know how things work. He refines his ability to think for himself. Between 14 and 21, he comes into his willpower. He does not want to be told what to do by anyone. His personality gets strong. His likes and dislikes solidify. He is on his way now, an individual answerable to no one. Generally about this time, he wants to run away from home and express himself. From 21 to 28, he begins assuming responsibilities and gaining a new perspective of himself and the world. Theoretically, he should be in Anahata, the chakra of cognition, but a lot of people never make it. They are still in the bull in the china shop consciousness, crashing their way through the world in the expression of will, asking why, reasoning things out, and recording it in memory patterns, which they go over year after year after year. But if awareness is mature and full, having incarnated many, many times, he goes on at 21 to 28 into the Anahata chakra. Here he begins to understand what it's all about. He comprehends his fellow men, their relationships, the world about him. He sees inwardly for more profound, he seeks inwardly for more profound insight. Chakra is stabilized and smoothly spinning once he has raised his family and performed his social duty, and though he may yet continue in business, he would find the energies withdrawing naturally into his chest. So that gives us a good insight into the pattern of the individual, as Gurudeva says. The same cyclical pattern development in human history is evident even more clearly in the growth of the individual. So clearly what we're seeking for is to get into the 4th chakra consciousness, Anahata. I like to think of it in the relationship to the Hum word Kamsatjamni. Gurudeva used to have a physical overview just to impress everyone. In the early days of his ministry, the first Sunday of every month, he'd drive up on the top of Mount Tamalpais with his devotees and look down into the city. So it was a physical Kamsatjamni, just to make sure everyone got the idea. Nothing abstract about it. And it was interesting, I remember going a few times. And you would actually, by looking down on the city and the houses in the city, the cars driving around, you'd look down on your own life automatically. You'd be seeing the forest of your life instead of each individual tree. Normally we know each individual tree so well, we know them on a first name basis. All the details of our life, we're consumed by them. But we don't have an overview. We don't see patterns of action and reaction. We don't see patterns of frustration, patterns of opportunity. We don't see the patterns of our life because we just see each individual event as an isolated event, which we react to positively or negatively. But in Kamsachemni, we're seeing an overview. We start to see patterns in our life, both positive patterns, which we can expand upon, and negative patterns, which we can try and reduce. So the patterns become apparent. And going on top of a mountain is a nice way to do that, when you can look down on a city, as that situation is, with philosophy encouraging you to do so. However, you can also do the same thing in your own mind, and the what keeps us from seeing the forest instead of the trees is our over-involvement in the chakras of memory, reason, and will. We're putting all our energy into that, and hopefully none below, into fear and anger. But we're so attached to what's going on, the memory of it, projecting into the future, the past. We're so busy in those chakras, we don't get up into the overview, which is the chest chakra. So Gurudeva has some nice material on that in the Shum. Which makes it, it gives a practical suggestion relating to the fourth chakra and the other higher chakras as well. It is good to locate the dimensions and distinguish them from Kamshumalinga. So Kamshumalinga is the Shum word for chakra. Kamshumalinga is the power of nymph, the power of awareness within the dimension itself. Look at each dimension through the area of the body where the Kamshumalinga exists. For example, when in Shumif, in the fourth dimension, try to look at the world through the chest. So we look at the world through the chest. That's what we're talking about. Kamsachemni is in that same dimension. When in the seventh dimension, try to look at the inner world through the top of the head. When in the fifth dimension, try to look out through the throat area. This is best done, of course, through Shumnam, and you will find that each Kamshumalinga relates directly to the third eye, and the third eye focuses through Kamshumalinga. So, Gurudeva will say this again, I think, later on, but it's an interesting idea. Usually we think that we're seeing through the chakra. But Gurudeva is saying, no, your third eye is seeing through the chakra. Every time you see something inside yourself, you're utilizing your third eye. You're just pointing it into a different part of the inner you. This is best done, of course, through Shumnam, and you will find that each Kamshumalinga relates directly to the third eye, and the third eye focuses through Kamshumalinga. In the very same way, you can close your physical eyes and feel with your fingers a table or something soft or something hard. You're actually seeing through your fingers. And the other senses work in this way too. This is how the Kamshumalinga work, so distinguish them as different from the dimensions. Then there's another quote which says the same thing, slightly differently. We always have to remember to be aware of where a Shum portrait is. For six-dimensional portraits, you should look out from between the eyes, whereas for fifth-dimensional portraits, you should look out from the throat area. For a fourth dimensional portrait, you should look out from the chest area because it is Shumiv. If we start looking at the world through Bivumbika Kamshumalinga or Remche Na or Renamche Vum Kamshumalinga, the world looks very different, and that's the Mulif perspective, philosophical perspective or intellectual perspective. Elsewhere, Gurudeva states that it is the first three Kamshumalinga that relate to the third dimension. So then there's an exercise. We did this on the inner search, looking out through the different Kamshumalinga to try and experience the dimension. So we won't do that this morning and take too long. There's a good write-up, short write-up, compared to the full material available on the dimensions in the meditation book. So I thought I'd just read the third and the fourth, because what we're trying to do is distinguish the fourth from the third. That's what the point of what I'm focusing on is. What's the difference between the fourth dimension, seeing the forest instead of the trees, or the third dimension, seeing the trees and not the forest? It is in the third dimension that most people live most of the time. This is the world of thoughts and feelings, of emotions and intellectual theory. Within the changing world of the third dimension are two basic and intricate energy flows. The first is a flow of force between people and things. This is a one-way flow through which people relate to objects. The second is a flow between two people or more, and also between people and animals. Visualize a stream of energy generated in the body by the process of life. This energy or prana constantly flows out from the central source of energy and constitutes the aura, constitutes the physical energy that moves the body, constitute thoughts and feelings. This prana creates a force field around the body. As soon as two people associate, these force fields interact, or the two energy streams interchange. Should these energies be of a like nature, the result is a friendship. When we understand these energies as they combine, attract, and repel in human relationships, we then begin to discover the constituent parts of what we call the world. That's why it's very important that relationships with others are harmonious, because we get stuck when they're not. Our awareness gets stuck. We can't get it out of that area of the mind. Can't get it out of that energy when our energy is negative with someone else. It binds our awareness in the third dimension. So we need to harmonize the relationship, at least on our side. Sometimes we can't harmonize it on both sides, but at least harmonize it on our side to get unstuck. And then our awareness can get out of the third dimension and go deeper. Otherwise, we're stuck, we're externalized because of inharmonious condition with one or more people. Fourth dimension. From the vantage point of the fourth dimension, we can view the building of emotional involvements within the third dimension, observing the workings of the emotional and intellectual units of ourselves and others. From this detachment, we gain the ability to dissolve confusions, conflicts, and the various and varied entanglements that are encountered daily. We want to dissolve them. The negative ones. In the fourth dimension, the first glimmer of inner light within the head is seen. It is usually a pale, moon-like glow seen at the top of the head. This dimension gives us a mountaintop consciousness. That's what we were talking about before, Kamsachimni, that looks over, in, and through everything and gives the facility to enjoy and participate fully in the world while knowing at all times exactly where we are in the mind. Artists are in the fourth dimension. Each time you design or created anything, you are bringing the beauty of the within through your nerve system into manifestation. It is a beautiful place to be, and you can be there all of the time, this is the key, by feeling the power of your spine. The minute you feel that radiant energy in the spine, you are disconnected from the third dimension and soar into the fourth. So that's a very simple way of getting into the fourth dimension, but it only works if we're not tied up in negative energy relationships with others or conflict. If we have significant conflicts going on, then we can't do that. We won't be able to feel the energy in the spine. So those are some interesting thoughts on the fourth chakra and the fourth dimension, and trying to identify them more clearly, shall we say, and utilize them more frequently in our life. And it's very important that we have an overview of what's going on in our life, in our mind, in our emotions. Because having an overview, we're able to direct it more productively, avoid certain problem areas, and develop certain positive areas more effectively because we have an overview. Thank you very much.